Well, it's good to be with you here today. My name is Kyle Harmon. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's a privilege and an honor to get to preach here today. And this morning, Pastor Austin, he asked me to preach on following the Holy Spirit, which now Austin's not here. He's there on a nice vacation. Good for them. But usually Austin is, he likes to give me the most challenging thing to preach on. He leaves and he's like, okay, good luck. If Austin was a pitcher, he would throw me curveballs all the time. But today he actually, I gotta say, this one is like a slow pitch softball because I love the Holy Spirit. I mean, like, get Kyle Harmon going. It's going to be talking about Holy Spirit. I'm stoked. Cause I know I've said this before, I've talked about this before, but I grew up as a Pentecostal, right? And if, let's go. Where's my Pentecostals at? Woo woo! I love it. You're in the room. If you know one thing about Pentecostals is that we're pretty comfortable with the Holy Spirit, right? That's kind of a thing. And it's okay. Like, this is a safe space. I know we're also the weird Christians. You can say it. We're the weird Christians. It's fine. Not the Covenanters, but the Pentecostals. And that's where I come from. So you've probably heard of Pentecostals doing some weird things like praying for miraculous healing or being baptized in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, maybe the occasional snake. I don't know. There's some weird stuff. I'll admit it. But I will say that I experienced a lot of this stuff, not snakes, firsthand in my Pentecostal church. And one reason why this wasn't like quote unquote weird for me is that I was raised in a family that was just actively trying to follow the Holy Spirit. That was how my parents raised us. That's how we operated. We were trying to follow the Spirit's lead in like our everyday, mundane, normal lives. And, I can remember times we prayed for healing and saw God heal somebody. I remember times growing up where people would speak in tongues and there'd be an interpretation that was for the whole church and that was powerful. I remember miraculous provision in our family, like desperately needing a certain amount of money and the next day that check shows up for exactly that amount of money when we told no one, right? Things like that you can't really explain away. I had somebody recently ask me, they were like, so, you know, why do you believe in the Holy Spirit? And I'm like, how could I not? The way I grew up is like, just God is so ever present and was in my family. And I want to say, my parents are probably watching. Maybe. We'll see. I'll check later. But, my dad is one of the biggest reasons that we grew up that way. And this Memorial Day weekend, I'm just struck that I want to honor my dad and his sacrifice for our country. He served in the Vietnam War. And so, part of growing up with my dad was growing up with a person who had PTSD, right? And so that was difficult. And if you served in some way, you're remembering someone, I just want to thank you for your service and just mention that here today because, we appreciate the sacrifice. I love you, Dad. But my dad's issues with PTSD, those sorts of things, he handled those, he worked with those with God, hand in hand, with the Holy Spirit. So my dad had all these incredible stories, and if I talked about my dad, we'd spend the next like 2 hours, and I should really make a movie out of his life at some point, because, you know, talking about my dad, you find this person who grew up as an orphan, and then was homeless, and then went and served in the Vietnam War, and came back, and you're just like, there's no way that this person's not just the most broken human being in the world, but he wasn't, because he had a relationship with Jesus and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And there was just some incredible stories I could tell, but I'll move on. Love you, Dad. But the other reason it wasn't weird for me, right? It's not weird for me, these Pentecostal, these Holy Spirit things, is that we're covenanters, right? And we see these things in Scripture. What do we, Jessica's not here today to say this in Swedish, but what do we say, covenanters? Yes, I got a few of you. Where is it written, right? In our Bible, where is it written? And so we read all the things I just described, and we read the Spirit's manifestations. So if you have your Bible, why don't you open that up to Acts chapter 10, and we'll put it on the screen. Don't worry if you didn't bring your Bible. I didn't bring mine. You're good. You're with me. And as we saw last week, Pastor Austin, he actually preached on this passage in Acts chapter 10. At the beginning of the chapter that he talked about, we see Cornelius, right? And he's praying, and he feels like God tells him to go send for this guy, Peter, right? So he sends for Peter. And they get there, and his servants go to get Peter. And at the same time this is happening, Austin told us last week that God had come to Peter in a vision, right? And he had said everything had been made clean. He said, God says to Peter, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And the Spirit tells Peter to go with those men that Cornelius has sent. Now, again, this is where I think sometimes we read the Bible lightly. We know the end of the story. We know how the story goes. So we're like, oh yeah, of course. Of course Peter would go with these random dudes who showed up at his door and were like, hey, come with us. This Roman guy sent for us. Come with us. Well, what do we know about the Romans? Right? What'd they just do? They just killed his Messiah at most like 3 or 5 years ago, right? At most. Some people say it's 1 or 2 years ago. And these guys are saying, hey, you want to come with us to this really Roman city called Caesarea, Peter? And we're just gonna have a talk. It'll be fine. Okay, no, this is not normal, right? This is weird. Peter, this does not make sense that he goes with them. But Peter prays and he hears the Holy Spirit tell him, go with them. So he goes. And what incredible faith that is, right? Like, not only is Peter a faithful Jew and has been his whole life, so if he goes and meets the Gentiles, he's now unclean. So he'd have to go like bathe himself ceremonially in a river 7 times. Like, he's not supposed to go there. This is a bad thing. But the Spirit tells him to go, so he goes. So let's pick this up. In Acts 10, 34 to 36, right here. Then Peter began to speak when he gets there. He says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. And now while Peter, we'll pick it back up in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit descended on all who heard the message. The circumcised, the Jewish believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Would you guys pray with me and we can ask for God to show us about this. Lord, we give you this time. We thank you for your Spirit's presence here, for the gift, God, of your goodness in this place, God. Would you just teach us this morning, use these words, these songs, this time together to show us more and more of what it is to follow your Holy Spirit. We give you this space. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. So, what can we learn from this amazing example from Peter about following the Holy Spirit? The first thing that I see is that Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit, right? He's filled with the Holy Spirit. This isn't just like an accident that Peter is having a vision with God, right? Peter is already knows God. He's already spending time with God. He's spending time with the Spirit. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is a theme that we actually find throughout the whole Bible. Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit when he goes out into the wilderness, right? He's filled with the Holy Spirit when he goes to the synagogue and preaches. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit when she's pregnant with John, and Mary is filled with the Holy Spirit when Jesus arrives. This is a common theme. The Old Testament too, not just New Testament. So the Bible's full of stories of people being filled with the Holy Spirit, and we have to be, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that's great, that sounds good. Pastor Kyle, we gotta be filled with the Holy Spirit, sure. But how do we do that? And I think Paul does this really good job of explaining it in Ephesians 5. He says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, right? Amen. It's a good passage. It's a little tough. So some suggestions in there, you know, but I think Paul is showing us in this passage that being filled with the Holy Spirit is not an accident. It's just not an accident that God shows up to us, right? Very specifically in the Bible, if God shows up in a very specific way to someone when they're not paying attention, that's like only in a rare circumstance where he needs that for the kingdom, right? He's like, I gotta have this right now, so you need to listen. right? That's not usually how God shows up in the Bible. Is people are already paying attention to God. They're already listening. They're already with God. They know who God is. So it's not an accident. It's a choice. And Paul says that how we live our lives will either grieve the Holy Spirit or fill us with the Holy Spirit. It's not an accident. It's a choice. So the thing this reminds me of is that, like, there's not like a comfortable middle ground, right? We see in Revelation that those who are you know, John writes in Revelation, be hot, right? Or be cold. Don't be lukewarm, right? If we're hot, then we're filled with the Holy Spirit. If we're cold, then we're grieving the Holy Spirit. But don't be lukewarm. Pick a lane. go with it and follow the Holy Spirit. And this is actually where I think growing up as a Pentecostal did me some favors here, right? Like I had some extra experiences with the Holy Spirit. And if you've ever been to, how many of you have been to a Pentecostal worship service? Yes? A little weird, right? It's okay. You could say it again. Safe space. But those people, right, they are not ashamed to move and pray and speak and dance and sing and wave their flags and banners and be with the Holy Spirit. They're not ashamed of that. And I think that's valuable because it's not a coincidence that in this passage, Paul tells us, sing songs, hymns, speak to one another with spiritual songs, right? There's a connection in us with music, with praising the Lord, and with our connection with the Holy Spirit. So we need to worship God with our whole beings to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I do want to be clear. Speaking in tongues is not the only evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Don't hear that. If you hear anything today, don't hear that. And it's not meant for the church without interpretation. If somebody stands up here and starts speaking in tongues, we'll be like, please be quiet, sir. God bless you. But unless there's an interpreter. If we've got an interpreter, great. Let's do it. And miraculous healing is not the only evidence of the Spirit and of your faith. There's some things I carry from the Pentecostal church, and some folks who I know carry it too because of things that were spoken that are not true, right? Spoken over people. And one thing I don't know, I feel this right now that I should say that if you've ever been in one of those spaces and you heard that you didn't have enough faith to be healed, did you ever hear that? If you ever heard that, I just want to rebuke that lie in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not true. That is not true. Like the Lord, you picture the man who's paralyzed at the pool, right, of Siloam, and there's hundreds of people surrounding the pool. Jesus heals one man. Why? It's not because of his faith. It's for the kingdom, right? It's for the kingdom that Jesus does that. So I'm not saying that we have to start slaying people in the spirit, casting out demons in this room. I'm not saying that, but I will ask us as good covenanters, where is it written? And it's written in our Bibles. So if we're not comfortable with it, that might be a bit of a problem. It might be an issue. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. Second, and that was a long first point, but we'll get number two here. We're filled with the Holy Spirit to be sent out. There's never a time in Scripture where somebody's just filled with the Holy Spirit to sit at home and watch the Seahawks. Right? That's not why we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're filled with the Holy Spirit to be sent out, to go, and to do something. And last week we actually heard from Jeff and Lillian Stauber and how they're going to Tennessee to work with the Gideons, and they're going, and that's awesome. I'm so proud of them. We will be praying for them. But they are being filled with the Holy Spirit to be sent out. And Jeff said this last week when he was up here, that we've already all been commanded to go in Scripture, right? We're already commanded to go. Matthew 28, 19 to 20 says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's for all of us. That's called the Great Commissioning. So if you're hesitant about going, you've already been sent out. So we got to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be sent out and go. And the last thing, last point here that I want us to learn from this passage is the Spirit is not under our control, right? That's scary. If that doesn't scare you, sorry, it scares me. I want to be in control. I'm a good American, right? I believe that I can be in control of everything, of my life, of my finances, of what my whole future. But the Spirit is not under our control, right? Peter gets sent to this place where he's probably, I'm thinking 50-50, he's taken his life into his hands, going to Caesarea, but the Spirit tells him to go. And he goes. The Spirit's not under our control. So let me tell you a little story. This is about my wife and I, about we lived for a while in the Dominican Republic as missionaries, spent a good couple years down there over the course of like 10 years where we worked with Children of the Nations. It was awesome, incredible time. But how we got called to go down there is a pretty interesting story, because we went and we were working with this group called I Love Baseball. Let's put that photo up, because this is Maximo. That's Joanna and me before we had kids and we had some energy. We don't look tired. God bless it. Look at the light in our eyes. It's gone. It's okay. We'll get some sleep in like 20 years. But that's Maximo. And the last day of our trip, Maximo, the coach for I Love Baseball, he came up to us and he said, "Hey, I got a prophecy for you." And both Joanna and I grew up in charismatic churches, so we were like, "Oh, cool. Prophecy. Great. That's going to be good." And then he gave us this prophecy, and we were just like, "Okay, interesting." And it was like, you're going to work with kids. You're going to minister. God has a plan for like you to be a pastor in some ways." And I was like, "I don't want to be a pastor. That's not going to happen. And working with kids, no thanks." But I was like, "Cool. Thank you, Maximo." And so then we drove to the other side of the island. We were in a tourist shop. And this is what I mean when the Spirit is not under our control. We were in the rum aisle. We were picking out some rum. And we're trying to figure out, "Ooh, this is a nice like dark rum, a silver rum. What should we get for our parents-in-law?" You know, we were trying to figure it out. And this guy taps me on the shoulder and I'm just like, "Hi, you know, who is this?" And he's like, "Hey, are you guys Christians?" And I'm like, "Yes, we are." "How did you know that?" And he's like, "Well, the Lord told me to come and give you a prophecy." And then he said the exact same prophecy as Maximo did. And I'm talking, these people do not know each other. There is no connection between these people. This is on the other side of the island. This is a 4-hour bus ride away, right? Needless to say, God had my attention. He had our attention. He knew we needed to hear that twice. He came to us, he said, "I need you to do this." And then we had to step out in faith, and we actually moved down to the Dominican Republic and lived there and worked there, and it was beautiful. Still have a connection. And who knew after that that would turn into me going to seminary and being a pastor, and now I'm a missions pastor. How crazy is that, right? The Spirit's awesome. I love the Spirit. I told you, I get excited about this stuff. Following the Holy Spirit is the greatest adventure of our lives. So, but the Spirit's not under our control, right? Not under our control. God is in control. So just kind of like Peter, it shows us that there can be barriers, right? That story, there can be barriers to following the Holy Spirit. Peter, you know, he could have let his religious laws get in the way and been like, "Nah, that's against the law. I can't do that." Peter's fear could have gotten in his way. I'm pretty sure he was afraid. Peter could have disobeyed. He could have just stayed in safety instead of going to see Cornelius and watch the Holy Spirit get poured out on all these people. What an amazing testimony. So I think we have some barriers in our society, particularly, and I think each society is unique, right? Like America is its own unique place, and kind of like different parts of America, we have some unique barriers. So I'm going to name those for us. And I think one of the barriers that we have to following the Holy Spirit is that we believe, like I said, we are in control, right? We think that we are in control. And I will say that is a lie. Just ask anybody out there, like, who's gotten in a major car wreck or something, right? You get up in the morning believing and having this assuredness that you're going to be fine, right? I remember when I was 16, I was like, "Oh, I'm invincible driving my car," right? And I mean, we have this deep belief, and it's a lie in our culture that we're in control. We're not in control. God is in control. And it's not our kingdom, it's God's. So that's one. And another barrier, I think, to relying on the Holy Spirit and to following the Holy Spirit is that we have to rely on God. Living in other cultures, living, you know, as a missionary in other countries, you see the Holy Spirit move incredibly freely in those places, right? If you've never done it, I promise that I've seen the Holy Spirit move in incredible ways, and more incredible ways, honestly, in other countries. And I'm like, "Well, why is that? What's going on here, God?" And I think it's that those are people who are really deeply relying on God, right? When they pray for their daily bread, they don't have their daily bread in the pantry, right? They are deeply needing God to provide for them. And I think in our culture, we can rely on our savings account. We can rely on our retirement. We can rely on even our medicine and our doctors, right? I've seen people who didn't have, there was no hospital close to them, and they had 105 fever, and they had, dengue fever or something, and they were praying, and all that they could do was pray. They were relying on God. And I asked my dad, I love my dad, he's awesome, and I asked him, I was like, Dad, why is it that we can't rely on God? And he said in his Paul Harmon way, well, Kyle, people rarely look up unless they're flat on their back. And I was like, oh man, that's good, Dad. That's good. And how many times have I really been flat on my back as an American, as a person who can kind of just go to the store and get my bread or go to the doctor and get my antibiotics? Those aren't bad things, right? I'm not saying those are bad things. But sometimes they prevent us. When we rely on them, they prevent us from relying on God and the Holy Spirit. And the final barrier, I think, is our fear. Our fear. There's, in the Bible, you see this phrase, fear not, 365 times, right? There's one for every day of the year. I think that's purposeful. That's like, it's not that we aren't going to be afraid. We are. We're humans. We're not God. We think we're in control, and we're not. And that's okay. We're going to be afraid. So God tells us, fear not, right? And part of that being filled with the Holy Spirit is we need that to overcome what that fear is about what God's calling us to do and to go and to obey. So just to recap, I know I said a lot here. So we got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're filled to be sent out, and the Spirit's not under our control, and there's going to be some barriers to following that. So practically, how do we do this? You said, okay, here's what we learned from this passage, and here's what we should do. But how do we do this here in Sammamish at Pine Lake Covenant Church? How do we do this? Well, first thing we do is we spend time with God. And I know that that's simple, that's easy to say, you know, but the Lord says in Scripture, he says, be still and know that I am God, right? And I think that is such a powerful thing in our culture where it's like, what's the next thing? Keep going. What's on your calendar? What's your schedule? What's on your phone, right? What's the next thing? And I would say, if you don't have a spot in your calendar this week, remember that we did that Make Room series where we at 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. we had our alarms go off. Those of us who set our alarms for that series. It wasn't me. No, I did eventually. But I did. I know Austin talked to me about it, and I was like, I'll set it. But that's what we have to create space in our lives. If it's not on our calendar, it's not on my calendar, I know it's not happening, right? We have to spend time with God, and not for the purpose of some other thing, but to know God. That when the voice of the Lord came to Peter, he wasn't like, wait a minute, what is this? Because he knew the voice of the Lord. He knew God. He walked with Jesus. That was his God speaking to him, and he had spent time with him. So that's the first thing. And the second thing, I just talked about it there, is we listen for God's voice. Now, we had this incredible youth panel a couple weeks ago where we talked about prayer, and it was awesome. And Lauren Callahan, she was downstairs, and Julie Goose and a couple other, Dolly Daniel, I think. Yeah, it was awesome. And the kids asked these great questions about like prayer, and they asked me about hearing the voice of the Lord. And for me, I sense the Holy Spirit often like in a nudge or in an idea that maybe that's not my idea, right? Like, oh, why did I think of that person? Maybe I should call that person. I actually did that yesterday. I was like, man, why did I think of my sister? And so I called her. She was having a really difficult day. She was having a hard time. And I got to pray with my sister on the phone. And I was like, oh, because I went on a walk and I said, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with this walk? And he said, call your sister. So I did. And I got to be a part of some healing in my sister's life yesterday. I wouldn't have gotten that chance if I wouldn't have sat and listened and made myself still and heard the voice of the Lord. But one of the things that's important here is that we look at this word listen, right? That word, it's different from hearing. Like if an ambulance passes on 228th right now, I'm pretty sure we all would hear it. We hear it every time it passes, right? I'm pretty sure you with people with kids or husbands or know there's a difference between hearing and listening, right, ladies? No offense, men. I get in trouble for this all the time that I heard my wife say something, but I didn't hear it. I didn't listen because I didn't know it was to me or I wasn't paying attention. I love you, babe. And, but I think again, how we grew up and how we want to raise our kids to actively follow the Holy Spirit reminds me of when I was a kid. And my dad, there was this time I felt like I was called to go, and I shared this story at the youth panel, that I felt like I was called to go on my first mission trip. And I was 12 years old, and it was a 6-week mission trip. Whew. Right? I don't know about you, but if Addie comes to me and she's 12 and she's like, "Dad, I want to go on this mission trip," I'm going to be like, "Sweetheart, I'm going to need like Balaam's ass to tell me that you're going on this mission trip because you are 12 years old. No chance." That's a donkey for you kids, by the way. I'm talking about donkey. I'm talking about, yeah, let's go donkeys. We're big. This should be our mascot. But 12 weeks, and my parents were like, "Oh wow, that's a long time for our little child." And I was by far the youngest kid on the trip. But I went and I told my dad, "Dad, I feel like I'm supposed to go on this trip." And he said, "Well, what did God tell you?" And I was like, "I don't know. I thought I was supposed to go. It sounds like I'm supposed to go." And he's like, "Well, go to your room and I want you to ask God. Go with the faith of a little child that you have, and you go ask God and see what God says to you." And I went into my room and I was like, "Okay, God, do you want me to go on this mission trip?" And before I could say the word "trip," I heard, "Yes!" It was like this gigantic yes in my head. And I was just like, and I walked back into my parents' room and I was like this. And my dad was like, "You heard God's voice, didn't you?" And I was like, "I did. And I was afraid." Fear not, right? Because listening for God's voice, right? And I went on that trip and my parents, they sent me. What faith, right? Send a 12-year-old for 6 weeks. But they sent me because God said, go. God said, send your child. He's supposed to go on. This is going to shape who he's going to become. And so we obeyed. And I think that is the key is as we listen for God's voice, that's like a muscle, right? Where the more we hear God's voice, the more that we obey, the more that we listen, the more we know it's God's voice, just like Peter did. So that's that last thing. We obey. Because if we just hear God and then we don't obey the action that he gives us, we're never going to develop that muscle. We're never going to get better at hearing God's voice and following the Holy Spirit. So, where am I at? Am I close, Mark? Oh yeah, I am. So, how is God calling you to spend time with him, to be still and know that he is God this week? Where is that in your calendar, right? Where have you created that space to be still and know that God is there? And what is God's voice saying specifically to you? How do you hear the Spirit speak to you? Is it in that nudge? Is it in the Holy Spirit giving you a vision or a picture? Is it an audible voice in your head? What is it? The Spirit of the Lord wants to speak with us. I love it. In Hebrew, as you read the Bible, it doesn't say God spoke, right? When they talk about God, they either say Yahweh or Hashem, the name. And it doesn't say God spoke. It says God was speaking. Because in Hebrew, the idea was that the voice of the Lord is always speaking, so we need to tune into that. That God is always speaking to us, and it's on us to tune into, to hear the voice of the Lord. So what's God saying to you? What's that still, small voice of the Holy Spirit telling you to go? How is God calling you to be obedient and to go? I'm not saying it's to another country. I hear people say all the time, "Oh, I'm going to get called to Africa." I'm like, well, Africa's a continent, by the way, not a country. There are many countries in Africa. Don't ever say Africa's a country in front of me. You'll get corrected. But God might be calling you to your neighbor, right? That voice might be saying, "I want you to go next door. I want you to ask your brother or your sister, how are they doing? To give somebody a call." Church, I think if we do this, if we follow the Holy Spirit together, if we get a little more comfortable with some of those weird things that we are uncomfortable with, if we are willing to not be in control and move past our fear, I think we're going to look different to the world, right? I think we're going to look a little less like ourselves, a little more like Jesus. And I hope that's where we're moving toward. We say we're here to find and follow Jesus together, and the Holy Spirit, following the Holy Spirit is how we do that. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord God, thank you so much for your Spirit. Thank you. You sent your Spirit, God, in your place, that you lead us, you guide us, you take us with you. Lord, thank you that you are here in this space right now speaking to us, God, that your Spirit is here. Lord, I pray for just all the different ways people have arrived here this morning, God. I pray that in whatever state we are, God, you would meet us there. Lord, not as we hope to be one day, God, but as we are. You say, come as you are. So we come as we are, God, not pretending to be the best version of ourselves, but coming, Lord, as we are, who we are, because we are created in your beautiful image, God, uniquely to represent you. Spirit, you are in this place. We praise you. We worship you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.